I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time to make our way to the beauty shop, where we take a woman's perspective on recent items in the news. Joining us today in our Washington, D.C. studio are Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ magazine, and Danielle Belton, author of the blog BlackSnob.com. And from her home office in New York, Jessica Cohen, editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on.
Hello. And
good to be here.
Thanks for everybody having interesting hair, since it's the beauty shop. just before the break.
Just take Jessica's word for it.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Just before the break, we were talking with a woman, Crystalyn Karazin, who's heading an online protest today called It's Against Out-of-Wedlock Births. It's specifically focused on the African-American community. It's being called No Wedding, No Womb. It involves more than 100 bloggers. And before we move on, I just wanted to get your take on this, since all of you blog. And what do you
all
think,
of us
Danielle?
Have wombs, as far as
and all of us have wombs, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
Danielle, what's your take on this?
Well, I'm actually participating in the event from the standpoint that I want to talk about empowering women to make better reproductive choices, to use the opportunities and options that they have in order to better themselves and to better make better lives for their children, and also calling on men to be more responsible. Oftentimes, with certain men, they act like it was inevitable for them to, you know, get some, you know, woman knocked up.
Why did you want to participate? And do you think that this is an effective way to spread this message?
I think it's a good way to get people talking and thinking about things and kind of challenging their viewpoint. There is kind of an attitude among some in the African American community that have just kind of accepted the fact that out of wedlock births are so high and are not necessarily thinking about how it affects children, how it affects the community, and what are some of the negative consequences of that.
I just want to give some other figures here. We talked a lot about the African-American figure at 72% of black children born outside of marriage. Among Latinas, the number is 52.5%, and among white women, it's 28.6%. This according to the Centers for Disease Control, and the numbers, not that the pregnancy is a disease, but they get the numbers, and as of 2008. Jessica, I want to ask, is this the kind of thing that's Is this discussed in other communities as well? Is this a big topic on your blog? And I am thinking about, on the one hand, so much focus on black women.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, when was the big pop culture moment where this was discussed? Murphy Brown, mm-hmm. The television show Murphy Brown. So, Jessica, I wanted to ask, is this something that's discussed on the blog in your circle among other people?
I'm hoping that this is the moment for it. I think it's a fantastic strategy to flood the online space with this discussion. And when you do that, it becomes an unavoidable topic. And if you are a human being and you have a heart, you care about this. This is a matter of leveling the socioeconomic playing field. And this is a factor that contributes, these babies born in wedlock, this is a factor that contributes to the ongoing problem.
Anna-Marie, what do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, I write for a men's magazine, and I think they're obviously missing from this discussion for the most part, men. And I think I really wish that there was a way to get guys involved besides pulling, what is the Greek story of the woman who denied access until the war was over, denied access to her womb until the war was over. We can't get guys' attention unless it comes down to womb access, I guess.
I'm wondering, why isn't this a discussion among men?
Yeah, I mean, it's simple biology, I suppose. I mean, I think that, you know, I have to say, like, my impulse is towards the satiric, and I tend to mock things. And when I first saw this, no wedding, no womb, it seemed awfully clinical, to say the least. and also,
I think they were going for the alliteration.
Yeah.
Which sometimes bad things happen when alliteration is the goal.
But then I started reading it, and I listened to the interview, and I have to say that there's something very refreshing about just the simplicity and the earnestness of what she's trying to do, in the way that it's not a political program at all. It is simply asking for, you know, young women primarily, it seems like, to think about it and to try to achieve a culture shift. And that's what's going to have to happen. I mean, I think it does have to involve all communities as well. And you only can, if something like this, it's an entire society's mores that have to change. The only comparison I can think of is how we've made smoking unacceptable. It would be nice if, like, it was just not even thought about as, like, a cool thing to do, to have a baby out of wedlock.
You know, it's interesting because it does dovetail. The play you're thinking of is Lysistrata,
yes,
by the way.
Right.
This also kind of connects to our next topic, which is the whole question of the status of same gender loving individuals. Because mm-hmm. some people, when I raised this question, earlier with Dr. Malone Kalan about this whole question of where does this dovetail into the same sex marriage debate, she says, well, look, that is part of the conversation, but the vast majority of people who are still, heterosexual, and that's still where the marriage conversation is. So, but it does dovetail into the whole same gender loving conversation, right? And so the question then for some people is, okay, does this delegitimize my family? If we put this emphasis on marriage, and we know that children are still being born every day in lots of different family structures, does that then put these kids, shouldn't the conversation really be about how we best take care of kids? So Anna Marie,
I was going to say another thing that if I was going to participate in a branding strategy session about this particular topic, another reason why we might not go with no wedding, no womb is because it does so, at this point in our culture, wedding means man and woman. Unfortunately, at the national level.
According to one value structure,
legally right. And on a national level.
No, I'm just saying, unfortunately, because for some people, this is the right. dividing issue right. with the culture. Some people say that is just the way it was intended. I just feel like I need to be fair to the people who aren't present.
Well, right. But I was saying like a way that I might brand it would be no family, no womb, or no family, no kids. Like
Or no ring, or no commitment.
Right, exactly. Because I think the message, the larger message that maybe that I can really get with, is the idea that children do need to be raised in a family structure. Whether that is a mom and grandparents, whether that is two moms, whether it's two dads, they do need a family, and you need to have a plan for that family. Hmm. I feel like that's sort of the mindset that the No Wedding, No Womb is trying to look at, is have a plan for that family structure.
That isn't about more than, I think you're cool and I like your jeans.
Right, right.
You wear nice jeans. Right. So Danielle, anyway, the final point on this, well, how does that sort of strike you? I mean, how do you dovetail this with the parallel move toward same-sex marriage, rights? Is the issue marriage, not just marriage to whom, but marriage to someone, a plan, a long-term plan that isn't just about whether I like you today?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I feel like what it's about is the fact that children do need two parents. You need to have people involved in your, in taking care of your life. The problem that comes up with the whole out-of-wedlock birth issue is that children are never going to stop wanting to know who their father is or who their mother is if one of their parents happen to be absent. That's the greater tragedy of it. Children are always going to want to know who they are, where they came from, why they are the way that they are. So I'm obviously, for, marriage in all forms. But when you're thinking about children, the concern is obviously to have that loving family, to have that support, and to be prepared for the day when the kid's going to have those questions.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're having our Beauty Shop Roundtable discussion with Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ magazine, Danielle Belton, author of the blog BlackSnob.com, and from her home office in New York, Jessica Cohen, editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com. Let's talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yesterday, the Senate Republicans blocked a vote on a bill that included a provision to allow Don't Ask, Don't Tell to be repealed. Now, of course, that's the ban on people who are openly gay serving in the military. Now, the opponents have found a champion in pop star Lady Gaga. She gave a speech at a rally in Portland, Maine on Monday calling for Don't Ask, Don't Tell to be repealed. And she delivered it in a way that only Lady Gaga could, although she was not wearing her meat outfit that she wore.
She wore some lovely oversized glasses.
All right, let's listen.
Equality is the prime rib of America. But because I'm gay, I don't get to enjoy the greatest cut of meat my country has to offer.
This is, of course, a reference to her meat costume that she wore at an award show, which I still can't figure out how that meat thing happened. But what do we think about her being a... Anna Marie, what do you think about her as a spokesperson for this issue? Is she effective?
Obviously, if she really wanted to make a difference in America, she would go on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of single mothers, actually. I'm very much in favor of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I feel like every day that it's in place, we are a less safe country. And also, we're a less just country. I think one of the most important political moments, Lady Gaga, I thank her for her support. I'm not sure if she swayed a lot of people, I have to say, but she probably did get some attention from some people who weren't thinking about it. I know in the progressive community, sometimes focusing attention on Don't Ask, Don't Tell is controversial because the way people feel about our invasion of Iraq, invasion of Afghanistan. So it can be an odd fit. However, and as much as I admire her putting her principles on the line here, she wasn't really risking that much. And I think the greater political moment and the moment of greater political bravery this year was when Admiral Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, laid out in his testimony on the Hill an argument for repeal of Donatus Hotel that was actually a brand new argument to be heard in that room. It was an argument based on the concept of honor in the military and how Donatus Hotel forces gay and lesbian soldiers to live a lie and to therefore be less honorable. And I think that is the argument that probably is going to carry some weight with people in the military.
And I'm just going to move it along here because we have a couple of other topics I wanted to get to before we – not Jessica, we're going to leave you out. Another name making waves in politics this week is Christine O'Donnell, the Tea Party candidate who beat out longtime GOP lawmaker Mike Castle. And now she's – refusing all interviews except, of course, with Fox News.
Who
she appeared on the with the national media anyway. Mm-hmm. She's doing anyway. So I don't even know what to say about.
What's Jessica, the coverage on Jezebel been like, Jessica?
Yeah,
I mean, she's certainly a source of endless punchlines, and her excuse for not participating in national media, I suppose, is valid. National media is not going to help her in Delaware, but. Obviously, she cares enough to go on a friendly outlet like Fox News. And her, let's call it a performance last night, I actually found a little frightening because she seemed rather sensible. And for someone who is so associated with her somewhat extreme beliefs, to have her presented on a national platform as somebody who keeps those social beliefs that she has separate from politics, I don't buy that. I don't think you can be a person who doesn't believe in masturbation and, you know, doesn't support lifestyles and still not have that influence your politics. And I find that a little misleading for her to dodge those questions over and over.
Danielle, I have to ask, though, are her views really that extreme? She's pro-life. There are many people in public life who are pro-life. The fact that she had financial problems, I have to tell you that, you know, she didn't pay her student loans or she didn't, the whole question of whether she's funding her campaign appropriately is for the regulators to sort out. But the fact that she had financial problems, don't a lot of people have financial problems these days? I mean, Danielle, is she really that extreme?
Well, I think,
or is this a thing because she's a woman and because people don't like her politics?
Well, I think it's a combination of several things. To a certain extent, she is kind of extra. She's just a little bit different there. There are a lot of people who are different in that particular way. I'm from Missouri. I've met many of those people. But the thing is, by avoiding the scrutiny of a journalist who's going to ask the tough questions, going to ask the very many different questions about abortion, about her values, about things that she's believed, about things in her past. When you take that away, I mean, she basically got herself a nice little PR boost and got treated with kid gloves. The reality is that most of us, you know, can't afford like fancy PR to make ourselves look the best possible the way we are all the time.
Anne-Marie, what do you think?
Well, I think that she is practically, she's pretty extreme. I mean, in some ways, focusing on her more eccentric gaffes, like having dabbled in witchcraft, gets us away
from... But that was before she was a candidate.
Right. I said that gets us away from her actual views, which are pretty, you know, a Tea Party. She does fit in the Tea Party. I think she's in the same, like, mystical power of gold standard that Glenn Beck is into as well, which I find a little bit upsetting and is an actual real policy issue. I also think that, you know, people have tried to make the argument, especially on the right, that it has to do with the fact that she's a woman. I think that you can't avoid, obviously, acknowledging someone's, you know, you can't not see that she's a woman.
She has a womb.
Yeah, she has a womb, as far as we know.
But I'm just saying, her thing was she was a social activist before, and
I wanted to say that she does believe in masturbation. She just believes it's wrong, but she knows it exists. She knows it's out there.
Okay. I don't know. I just wonder whether it's she had some views that when she was an activist. She talked about because she was.
She still talks about, but she still talks about her views.
But is she talking about outlawing masturbation? Forgive me, parents. I know you weren't prepared for that. But is she talking about outlawing it as a matter of policy or not? I mean,
I'm actually curious. I think Jezebel has been covering this pretty heavily. I'm curious if Jessica knows more of her recent, like.
You know, she's actually really doing herself a disservice now that I think about it to not talk about her personal beliefs a little bit more because right now all we have, or most of what we have, are these crazy politically incorrect clips. from the early 90s when she was a much younger activist, and that's where the witchcraft thing comes from. And that is where, you know, her conservative kind of extremism is really being associated with. And she, yes, she does believe in masturbation. She does know it exists.
Well, the only point I would make about this is where I always get confused by people. They're upset that they're being caricatured, but then they don't want to explain who they really are. And then they're shocked that they're being caricatured.
Well, excuse me.
The people she's talking to on Fox already dig her. Mm-hmm. So how does that help? I don't know. Anyway,
she's preaching to the choir, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, why not go out and explain who you are? I mean, isn't that what elections are for?
No, because they'll be mean.
Well, I'm sorry. Can't take the heat. You know
although
what I
it's
say.
Also true that...
Let me just one more thing, though, before we let you go. Gabrielle Sidibe, her cover for Elle magazine. Now, you'd think that having a young black woman on the cover, especially a large-sized woman of a mainstream magazine, would be something that people would be celebrating. But a lot of people are hot under the collar about this. They just think that the cover is... Anyway, Danielle, why don't you explain what the issue is and how this is being a big... Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about this. A lot of people are not feeling that.
There's several issues with the cover. Some of it is a why issue. You know, why Gabby? Why now? You know, she's only had the one film. There's so many other African-American actresses who've made strides who've never gotten to be on the cover of Elle. Then there's the whole issue about whether or not they lightened her skin in the photograph. People have been upset with how she was styled, the clothing that she wore, the way the pictures looked. So there's this whole feeling, because of the fact that African-American images in the media, there's such a paucity of it, that when there is one, there is this move to be hypercritical of it, because you really want to get at, well, what are they trying to say here?
Thumbs up or thumbs down on the cover?
I didn't like the cover. I was happy she got the cover, but I didn't think the image was very nice.
Because?
I didn't like the styling. I thought it was unflattering.
Okay. Jessica, quick question. Thumbs up, thumbs down on the Gabby Sidibe L cover?
You know, I find it, you know, the response that Robbie Myers had to the criticism was that it was a matter of lighting. And
lighting? Well, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to get your thumbs up, thumbs down virtually. Mm-hmm. Okay. Jessica Cohen is the editor-in-chief of Jezebel.com. She was with us from New York. Danielle Belton is author of the blog BlackSnob.com. Anna Marie Cox, Washington correspondent for GQ. They were here with me in Washington. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Thumbs up to all of you.
And our hair.